CET here in Düsseldorf. Welcome, everybody, to the third quarter presentation of CompuGroup. It's also part of our annual investor and analyst conference, which means that following the third quarter presentation, there will be a feature which will this year be around the topic of the Laurer Fischer acquisition and the integration process and the synergies that we are realizing in this new entity in CompuGroup. And then following this, we will go over to the hall where we have a large stand where there will be guided tours and the ability to see some of our products and services up front, meet other parts of our organization, ask questions, and get a more live feel for the products and services that we offer to our customers. In terms of timing, we will start out with this presentation, which will probably take around 20 minutes. We will then be over to a question and answer session. In this session, we also have Frank Gotthardt, CEO here, together with me, to elaborate on the developments that we've had in the third quarter. And as I said, once we are done with the Q&A, we will introduce some other presenters for the feature presentation. Then we can move into the first slide, slide number two, which shows the key figures for the quarter. It's a good quarter, the third quarter. Growth, top line 37%, is of course highly influenced by the acquisitions that have been done recently. Organic growth, 4%, still respectable. And with, you know, a margin picture which is similar to the third quarter last year's, which means that many of the new entities that have been brought in are beginning to get into the line of margins that we are used to in CompuGroup. So again, a decent and good quarter seen from our side. If we move to the next slide, and now we will go through just some housekeeping parts of the business. Slide three, we show the cost of goods and gross margin on a quarterly basis in the last 4 years. Certainly, this is a very stable picture. Our business has approximately 20%, maybe 21-22% of, say, external products and services, anything from database licenses to some outsourced professional services that we deliver as part of our offerings. And all in all, it shows a very predictable and consistent profile. Moving down the P&L, slide four, we are into the personnel expenses. Of course, this is an element that more follows the expansion of our business. We are today about 3,600 employees, which I think is about twice the number of employees we were 3 years ago. And of course, it's the main cost element in the P&L of CompuGroup. Today, we have, for the third quarter, about 48 million. There is a, I would say, going forward, there is a run rate of approximately 50 million euros of personnel costs, as is today. So again, following the revenue side and the profile of our business, it is again a visible part of how we develop. Next slide, slide five. In a sense, you can view the cost side of CompuGroup as personnel expenses and, say, 30% additional costs, which represent really indirect and associated costs in relationship to our people. So maybe the most interesting part of this graph is the percentage figure as how much is other operating expenses in relationship to personnel expenses. And again, I think what we've shown in the third quarter is a fairly consistent part of how our cost structure looks going forward. We will always work and aspire to improve on it, but we've reached a level which is fairly stable. Then we move to the cash flow statement. There is a seasonal profile in the sense that we get a substantial amount of prepayments on our service contracts in the beginning of the year. You see these spikes in the Q1 last year and this year. As a third quarter, the 5 to 6 million euros of operating cash flow that we generated in the third quarter is a consistent number to the P&L. Capital expenditure, this is slide 7. We are certainly in a period where focus has been mainly on managing and integrating and consolidating the multiple acquisitions that we've done. So what is on this list is more or less ongoing capital expenditure. There are two items that are of a, say, temporary nature. One is the new office building that we are building in Koblenz. We will actually show some pictures of this in the Laue Fischer presentation, because this is to be used for the centralization of our German organization, and will be in the CapEx for one more quarter. This is the office building and property part. And then we have settled the final payments related to the noteworthy investment. It's more described in the text, but again, these are the final payments and really only represent the final stage and closure of this acquisition that was done actually 2 years ago. Then, because of the stable nature of our business in the third quarter, there aren't really big shifts to the balance sheet. So the change from the end, this is a sequential picture, the change is only very small, going from the middle of June, or the end of June to the end of September. Page 9, we get into the normal sequential picture of our business. And of course, with 37% growth, there are many moving parts of new entities having brought into the group. We see this in particular in the APU segment. This is Pharmacy Information Systems. I think we decided on this slightly counterintuitive abbreviation for obvious reasons, because of the P and I and S capitals of Pharmacy Information Systems. But this was new, of course, and added significantly to the revenue in the third quarter this year. Of other developments, I think we can discuss them when we go into the individual subsegments. Let's start on page 10, just to disclose the acquisitions. So 24.8 million of the revenue in the third quarter came from the acquisitions that we had done since the third quarter last year. In terms of volume, half of it is the Laue Fischer acquisition, and most of the rest comes from IS acquisitions, but also, of course, the Swiss entry and also the HCS deal that was done in Austria. If we then move on to the subsegments on page 11, we start with IS development. It's a business which has a high proportion of recurring revenue. We see this from the pie chart on the right side, almost 80% of recurring revenue. Organic growth, 5%, is part of, most of that comes from what we sell to existing customers in terms of value-added new products and services. A steady development in IS, perhaps not with the biggest dynamic outcome for this quarter. HIS, actually a good quarter, especially if you compare it to the second quarter and the beginning of the year. Of course, the nature of the third quarter, in a sense, masks some of the underlying features of the business, in the sense that it's already, you know, it's the holiday season, and production in terms of professional services is less than normal. But overall, a good quarter, even with some positive organic growth. But we already here highlight that if we summarize, you know, the pipeline and activity plans and discussions with our customers, the fourth quarter will be more resembling the second quarter in terms of year-on-year development compared to this picture, which is good. Slide 13, the APU development. Again, this is exclusively related to the Lauer Fischer acquisition. As we have stressed multiple times, this is a high-quality, robust, well-managed business out of the box, where the business model is predominantly based on long-term hardware and software rental contracts. And then everything has behaved as planned and expected during this quarter. And again, following the third quarter presentations, we will shed some more light on how we bring this entity into the group and the benefits that we can extract both on revenue and cost sides. Slide 14, we move on to the HCS segment and start with the communication and data development. Again, we had a very strong start to the year, which was also influenced by special effects that we actually had last year. What we've seen now in the following two quarters is more or less a flat development, and also something that we expect to remain for the remainder of the year. Certainly, we hope to have a small growth, which is important for us because this is a business that we have done a corner turn on in terms of growth rates, having gone down for 3 years, and this year will year on year most likely go up, but again, more of a flat development also in the fourth quarter expected. Page 15, we move on to the workflow and decision support. It's been a relatively uneventful quarter. We have seen some of our disease management projects coming to an end without renewal. We are certainly working hard to rectify this, but as we have discussed in previous quarters, it's not easy to move this business forward and manage the growth in the same way as we can do in the other parts of our business. So again, it's a relatively uneventful quarter in the third quarter this year. On page 16, we move more on to some operational highlights in the quarter. So the first one is the one pager on Lauer Fischer. Again, this is followed up by a feature presentation. We have been very active in terms of bringing this company into the family of CompuGroup. We already moved the main general and administrative functions to our headquarters in Koblenz. And we also introduced a comprehensive new customer service concept, which utilizes the broad-based positions that we have in Germany closer, and which also enabled us to take out one of the central service centers that were part of the old structure of Lauer Fischer. So these cost side synergies will be described more in detail and quantified. It's written that in total, with the actions taken so far, they will amount to approximately 4 million euros per year, which is of course a significant influence onto the business. We are also working on revenue side synergies. Too early to quantify them, but at least conceptually we will go through them with one of our people today, two of our people today, to show what they could be and that they will be brought into the market already next year. Slide 17, We move on to the U.S., has been a focus area all through the year. We are now reached to the point where we operate the U.S. business as one company with one product. It doesn't mean we do not have a legacy to take care of, which is very important for us. But for driving the business forward in terms of what we are selling, what we are installing, and what will drive the growth, it is now a much more homogeneous and essentially a streamlined entity. So the effects of this are clearly positive. We had a positive operating result, so say a black zero plus in the quarter. Sales are going well, which means that efficiency has really taken a big upswing because we are doing a larger volume of sales, actually a much larger volume of sales with a much more lean and focused sales organization. So I think we are happy with how we develop in the U.S. One thing that everyone should keep in mind is that we are probably still some months away from the full efficiency. We are in a very, very intense period of essentially doing an upgrade to every single one of our customers to comply with this 5010 standard, which is described on this slide, on slide 18. And before this is completed, we just have to use the capacity we have and I guess the attention span of our customers to drive them through this transition before focus is again shifted to the EHR and growth parts of the business. The interesting part, and this is, has also emerged by other peers and competitors, is that there has clearly in 2011 been a very distinct difference between how the market has responded to the high-tech stimulus. So the large group practices, and the large group practice in the U.S. means up to, you know, 25 doctors and more. They have professional management, so they have a CEO and probably also a CFO. They have moved on the stimulus, started early. Even before the stimulus, they were the type of providers that would be progressive and would work hard to develop the business. If you look to the other side of the spectrum, so small, medium-sized practices, less than 10 doctors, they are mostly self-managed in terms of the doctors and corporations doing decisions. They have been more careful and have adopted more of a wait-and-see approach, which means that even after, I guess, almost 2 years of stimulus, the actual penetration has not moved a lot, meaning that this part of the market, if and when it moves, and we certainly believe it's only a question of time, is still there and ready for more of a growth push next year. So I think in summary, we're happy with the third quarter. It was a solid quarter. You know, internally, we saw it month by month. It was really a good step up on many parts of our businesses. Moving into the outlook, this is a part of the third quarter that we're not so happy with. We have done extensive reviews in terms of seeing how we would land this year. I think if you took the normal year-on-year development and based that on the fourth quarter last year, we would most likely come within the guidance range that we provided at the end of the second quarter. However, when we've done the detailed reviews of our backlogs, pipelines and plans for the remainder of the year, couple that with, I would say, special meetings with the main customers on the hospital side, we actually see a lower than normal seasonal revenue in the fourth quarter this year, which means that the year-on-year development that was built into our expectations have changed somewhat. Same thing actually goes for the workflow and decision support part of HCS. And then, of course, we have the 5010 process in the U.S., which just sucks up every piece of our resources in the short run. So all in all, we translated this into a point estimate, which you see here on the slide, 392 million of revenue, 73 million of EBITDA. Again, this does not include any new acquisitions. Should they come, it's probably unlikely that they would materially impact if they came the rest of this year. We are also in the process to discuss the financial side of some of the restructurings that we've done, particularly in Hahn when we closed the service center. We do not expect big numbers, but we are discussing this again with the Workers' Council there, and we'll come out with the final results when we close the books this year. So this is how we see the business for the remainder of this year. And we will now move on to the checkpoints that will come into 2012. So we will provide the preliminary full year report on the 3rd of February. Move on just to the confirmations and the general meeting. So in the time span of March, first quarter report, early May, about 1 week before the general meeting. And then normal pattern means August for the third quarter, and again, Medica as the venue for the third quarter review. So this was the planned part of the presentation in 21 minutes. We then move on to the Q&A session. We have, of course, our live audience here in Düsseldorf, so you can raise your hand. I don't know if we have a microphone.
Yes,
so there is a microphone that we will provide so that also those who are on the conference call can listen in to the phone calls, to the Q&A. So I think we will start here in the live audience and then move on to the audience on the conference call thereafter. But you can already now flag your desire to pose questions, which means you hit star one and you will be queued up for the Q&A session. Which means we will start. Gunnar, of course, from Dernberg.
All right, Christian, thank you very much. I basically have two questions, if I may. First is, could you provide us with the organic growth rate for your ductus business in Europe, so ex-US? And the second question is basically on your hospital business, where we have slightly lowered again your guidance for the full year. Previously, I always understood kind of the issue also for the hospital business is a bit, of course, the discussions in Austria in terms of reforms going on. Now it looks like more also a kind of GDP related. Everybody's a bit more cautious. Could you maybe shed a bit more light on what's going on in the hospital business? Thank you.
Okay. So Europe means, the U.S. development is relatively flat. Having said that, the numbers in the third quarter were still relatively slow because we didn't have Healthport and it was only 1 month of consolidated Visionary figures. So if you add 1 or 2 percentage points to the 5%, which is there, you are more or less on the right figure. I can provide the exact figure, but it's roughly then 6 to 7%. To the second question, HIS, if we extend the horizon a little bit beyond the fourth quarter, I would say that we have relatively good discussions with our customers in terms of how activities are planned and how we see 2012. So I think the link to kind of outright austerity and top-down budget controls on the public part of the healthcare system seems to be less of a driving factor. I'm sure there's something behind there. Again, the Austrian situation with these reforms may even bridge into some infrastructure parts, which typically dominate the fourth quarter. We've seen it a little bit also in Germany, which could be just that 2012 ended up being planned differently from these customers compared to prior years. So I guess we see that as, you know, not something that happened this year, which is perhaps not that systematic. Again, because discussions on how the business should develop next year are fairly positive and more back to normal. So I would say could be coincidences or just special things that came through, particularly in Germany and Austria this year.
Okay, thank you. Maybe one final question. You mentioned also in your guidance for the full year that maybe you have to build a provision for to moving headquarters for Lauer Fischer. Could you give us a rough estimate?
I would say small single-digit figures on this. As I said, we are in the process where this is also negotiated with the workers' councils, and we do this in a fair and professional manner, as they do. And part of that process is, of course, that we should firstly agree with them. It involves about 40 people, 40 people and an office building is what we talk about.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, hello, Jan Kepler from HSBC. Thanks for taking my question. Maybe I have a few questions on the U.S. business. First question is, you mentioned some order take-up in the U.S. business, but that this order take-up has not materialized so far due to this Hyper 5010 issue. But would this mean that we will see maybe an uptick of revenues in the U.S. already in Q1? And if yes, would it be a significant uptake? And also for the U.S. business, if you could maybe elaborate a bit on the margin development going forward, especially for Q4. I think you previously aimed for an EBITDA margin of 15% by the end of the year. How are you doing on that? And maybe if you can also give us some insight, what will drive this margin and pension expansion compared to what we have already seen in Q3.
So I guess lesson having been learned, we are being careful in pointing, particularly based on the U.S. and taking the word growth in our mouth. Having said that, it's an unavoidable consequence of increased order taking. That either they're canceled or it leads to higher revenue. So I think take that as an early, very general soft sign that certainly with this trend continuing, yes, there will be growth reinstated in the U.S. business. And I think we all agree that if there was ever one market which had the potential to grow stronger than any other market in CompuGroup, it is the U.S. market. But I think we will leave it with those general comments for the time being and come more stronger and more figure-wise out when we revisit this early February next year. The margin picture, yes, we said that we would exit just from the restructuring effects with flat revenue at a margin picture of something like 15%. This is probably going to be lower, essentially because costs are higher in doing this 50-10. Having said that, the cost structure based on the current revenue level is consistent with the 15%. So, and the shift is really, and because this is the good thing about the deadline, it's January 1st. So, there's no point in doing 50-10 on January 2nd. So I think shifting your model 1 or 2 months is really all we talk about. So it has an impact on the fourth quarter this year, but instead of being the exit run rate, it's kind of more the opening run rate next year, because there's this delta when you can, I guess January 1st is a Sunday, but on January 2nd, you can really start on different activities on the resources that we have.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. I have a couple of questions. The first one is regarding the pharmacy software business. Is it fair to assume that this business will hardly play a role outside Germany because there you don't have an intermediates business? At least it's less developed. Second question, G3. Could you provide us the schedule for rolling out G3 software solutions maybe in 2012 and how this could develop going forward? And the next question is for Frank Gotthard. Which strategic role does the hospital software play in your business, given the fact that we have excess capacity in Germany? Studies reveal that probably we have 200 hospitals too much in Germany. And the bumpy development this year was caused also by the hospital business. Question number four is also for you, Mr. Gotthard. Which EBITDA margins would you like to see in the midterm for CompuGroup? Without making it a guidance, but I mean, if I look at many of your smaller companies that you acquire, we often see EBITDA margins of 25% and sometimes more. So CompuGroup should probably operate at a similar level. Thank you.
I will let you do all four, Frank.
Okay. So if we look into the pharmacy business, I think it's good to have this segment in Germany because we have now everything you need to provide best connectivity to healthcare providers and also to the Krankenkassen and the other payers and the industry. So this is clear, but I think this is also good business in other countries. We have already been looking for such kind of targets in the past, so we will see what happens and if we find some target we can we assess as to be interesting, we will also go into this business in other countries. You mentioned the intermediates business. I think intermediates business you can do with pharmacies as well, on the platform of pharmacies as well as on the platform of AIS. But you can do this also in cooperation with other vendors, with competitors. So we will put more effort to develop intermediates business in other countries in the future. This is not so easy because sometimes management has to change a little bit mindset, and this is not a thing for short-term effect, but we are working on this. Regarding G3, it's easy. As you know, our strategy is to develop this new product during, we are right in the middle so of our development process, but there will not be a day in the future where everything is done and then we go to the market. We have already started to go to the market with special modules in Austria, and we will do this also in Switzerland and in Czech Republic. So I think next year is the first year where we can see revenues based on G3 modules. To do this in Germany, I think 2012 is too early. So it will be more 2013 and 2014. So our today's expectation is that we have the end of this migration process during it depends on the country, between 2013 and 2015. And this is good, so our customers can benefit from our new products and use their stable existing products so that there is no migration problem in the field. And also no sales lag, so because we can sell our existing products because everybody knows it goes slightly into the new G3 world. Regarding the HIS strategy, I think Germany, we have many hospital beds, so maybe there will be a reduction in the future, but we have also many old products in the market. So I think there is a market for migration, and a market for winning customers from our competitors, and I think our G3 product and the concept of connecting all the pieces of the healthcare segments is very competitive, so that we can grow in, even in the German hospital information system market. And we will do. The EBITDA margin, I see, is clear. It's I said this in the past, and we are working on this to get to this in the future. It should be at least in the range to 30% and not in the range to 20%. So this is clear. Where we are today, it's not good. And but this is depending on, if you see such an acquisition like Lower Fisher, this, if it has a big impact on our size of our business, I think it needs some time to integrate and to make it more, to take all the synergies opportunities in the, on the cost side as well on the revenue side. But we are pretty confident that this year we all already had, we made progress on taking synergies, and in next year we will continue to make progress, so that I expect that we step by step, I don't know why, I cannot say when, because this would be too unprecise on the facts today, but we are continuously improving our margins into the right direction. And if you know our business, so if you look into the hospital information system business, between 20 and 30%. If you look into AIS, it's between 30 and 55%. So you know where we should end up. And Intermedix is even better regarding margin.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Uwe Schupp, Deutsche. Three questions, please. Firstly, what is the current revenue run rate entering the next year on in terms of maintenance revenue? Secondly, just to clarify, what is the chance for the U.S. business to fall back into losses over the next few quarters, as far as you can tell, or would that be rather a worst-case scenario? And then thirdly, a simple one, how much firepower do you have left in the current status in terms of future M&A? Thanks.
Yeah, I can. So I will answer the first one, and Frank will do the second one, and I will do the third one. In terms of the maintenance run rate, we provide this as our full year guidance in February. So I would like to defer that question a little bit, but certainly, if you go through the slides that we have provided and you see the percentages on the HPS side, you know, they are a good indication, I think, of where we are. There are also some maintenance streams under HCS, but certainly there is a way to estimate this, and the precise number will come in February. For the U.S., I will leave it for you, Frank, to state the obvious.
Yeah, I think it's clear that we cannot know every detail of the future, because this would be too good to be true. But if we look into our U.S. business, we did a lot of restructuring in the first half of this year, and this has been successful, and this is covered. So the cost side is now covered by a revenue which we see as stable, because it's mainly maintenance revenue. And what we now we expect in the future is that we will, as already mentioned, will grow, because sales went well during the last month. So that we see this as a good start into the next year. So there's always a risk in business, but it should happen. There have to happen many, many unpredictable things. Otherwise, it should go well. So this is how I see the U.S. And we started with three acquisitions in this country. This was not easy. We we made some mistakes in the past regarding assessment of the situation of the management in this acquired targets is also not to deny. So what we did then is a tough restructuring on cost side and a good setup of a new or existing and new sales colleagues in a team, and then we can take the fruits in the future. I'm pretty confident.
Last question, how much firepower? So we have an unused portion of existing credit agreements of 80 million. Then we will have the benefits of our seasonal profile of cash flow, which would already early next year fill up. Then there will be the first stage of amortizing some of the credit agreements. If you put everything together and also assume the continued progress on margins and profitability, which would link into the covenant part, I would say that in a six-month perspective, purely based on the mentioned internal financing ability, it is round about 100 million euros. If there are no more questions in the audience, then I guess we will shift to the phone conference, which also then is empty. So then, thank you all for this first part of this presentation. We will now move into the feature presentation. It will be held by two colleagues. Yeah. Okay, sorry. There is apparently a break first.
Your conference has ended. Goodbye. 15